Good morning. Has everyone got their communion? If not, there's some on the table in the back. You can raise your hand. We can have someone get it for you. So looks like everyone has it. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to take our minds back for just a few moments back to the beginning, to the first sacrifice. When we look to the scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were in a garden that was perfect. They had all of the food that they needed. God was with them, very close with them, was there among them. And the life that they had was perfect. Doug and I were talking briefly this morning. I said, how long do you think that they were there until they committed their first, until that happened, that sin? He said, well, they had a lot of trees to eat from until they got tired of eating of all those other trees. Then I was just thinking, as we were singing, how long did it take the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt to get sick of the manna that they were eating? It wasn't long, was it? They started grumbling quickly. How things were so perfect, and how simple man got distracted so quickly and stepped away from God. That's a sad, tragic thing that happened at that time. Then they realized what happened thereafter when they take of that fruit. Their eyes were opened, and they saw what God was protecting them from. The nakedness, what they had seen, what they were able to see at that point, their eyes were open and they saw the sin. And they recognized what they had done was wrong. So they decided to take it into their own hands. And they took fig leaves, did they not? A man-made solution for sin and guilt ever works, does it? Fig leaves of religion works will never cover up the guilt and the sin. It will never make mankind right with God. So what did God do? In verse 21 of chapter 3, he says, the Lord God made clothes from skin for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. Throughout scripture, garments are symbols of righteousness, either God's all-sufficient righteousness or man's self-made righteousness. We see that throughout. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, he says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. I exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvations and wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. As a groom wears a turban, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. What great pride that Isaiah took in these things that he was wrapped in, the salvation and the righteousness of God. Isaiah also speaks of self-righteousness in chapter 64 and verse 6. It says, all of us have become like something unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind. Job writes in chapter 29, verse 14, I clothe myself in righteousness. I am enveloped me, and it enveloped me. My just decisions were like a robe and a turban. The righteousness of God taken and wrapped around him. Just as that first sacrifice of those skins that the Lord made, he covered Adam and Eve. The coats of skin were with the Lord's, which the Lord clothed Adam and Eve, represents righteousness provided by him in which they could stand in his holy presence. These coats of skin are a type of what God provided for us in the sinful state that we are in. His righteousness through Jesus Christ. Behind those garments that God made for Adam and Eve have been sacrificed, there was a sacrifice of death. No doubt God had given instructions of some kind about sacrifice. We do not have exact wording regarding this instruction. However, from the contents of chapter 3 and 4, comparison with the book of Hebrews, I think we can accept here the idea of the sacrifice which will follow in the Hebrew scriptures. Since a life had to be sacrificed before Adam and Eve could have been clothed with coats of sin, there was a substantial real death. God must always provide adequate covering for men to stand before him clothed in righteousness. Only in Christ is man ever clothed properly. So God laid the foundation for animal sacrifices and providing the garments of skin. We can see the pattern of this salvation throughout the history of the scriptures. The process of a sacrifice before Adam and Eve. They witnessed that sacrifice, and I'm sure they understood, and I know they understood and accepted what had happened. God gave instructions about sacrifices and how they covered sin. The idea here of God laying down eternal divine principles from which there is no deviation, we see throughout the scriptures. Salvation is of grace. The animal gift was from God. Adam and Eve provided nothing in that situation. God did it all. He provided everything they needed. The animal, the skins, the design of the covering. This is how grace operates, God providing all. The animal would be an innocent substitute, an innocent victim. God could not obtain skins without putting to death and shedding the blood of the animal. The same word here used for garments in Genesis is the same words that is used in Exodus chapter 28 when it's referring to the priest robe and the garments of that time period. How that robe was to cover the nakedness of the whole body, as when the priest would go into the innermost area for the sacrifice. It was not fig leaves. It covered the whole body, the skin. In the fullness of time, God provided his own perfect sacrifice to cover our sins and provide us his righteousness. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are clothed with his perfect righteousness. How tragic that we go around trusting inadequate coverings for our sins, when only the perfect and all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ will do. The theme of the Lamb is something that we see throughout all the scriptures, from the beginning all the way to the grand climax in Revelations. The great crimson thread is woven throughout the scriptures. And the more that as I study and as you study, the scriptures is like a beautiful garment. And you see those common threads throughout all of the scriptures, how that God put those in there to show us his love for us. For example, in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, speaking of the lamb, Abraham said, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. This is when he took his son up on the mountain. And God did he not? In Exodus chapter 12, God goes on to instruct the children of Israel about the Passover and the Passover lamb. Isaiah 53, the prophecy of Christ as being the Lamb of God. John chapter 1 and verse 29, when John the Baptist was preaching and teaching, as he was a man of the wilderness, out proclaiming for Jesus. It says there in chapter 29, it says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, pointing out Jesus Christ being the Lamb. In the fullness of time, the Lord sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to make atonement once and for all. One writer writes, this is a very interesting line. He says, in the beginning, as a small ray of light in Genesis, as it shines forth by full noonday sun in the Gospels. And that we just see a glimpse in the beginning, but as we get into the Gospels, it's just a beautiful sunshine, is it not? We can see so much what the Lord has done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He made one who did not know sin, but be sin for us all, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. The only offering God will accept is that which the one that he provides by offering of his own son. God provided the perfect sacrifice, his lamb. Man must appropriate it by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 reads, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man, because God approved his gift. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. And it goes on there in Hebrews, speaking of those that were wearing the same type of clothing, how they were in the wilderness and how that they were faithful to the Lord. So what will you do with the Lamb of God? I'm reminded of the thought of my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I'd like for us to turn over, if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. I want to read from chapter 4, starting in verse 17 through 24. Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord. You should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and have given themselves over to the promiscuity of the practices of everyone of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught about him as the truth is in Jesus. To take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, the new creature, according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity and truth. Now, as we think this morning of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we remember him, what did he do? He died upon that cross, a cruel, agonizing death, so that we can put on the skin, the full armor of God, his righteousness. We are clothed with him. As we examine ourselves, that we every step that we take, every breath that we take, we do so living for the Lord and thankful for Jesus and the salvation that we have in him. Let us remember these things as we partake of the bread this morning. If you would, please bow with me.